From Adam to Chris by Moira Riordan, read by Petica. Summary, in which Adam and Chris are not Justin and Kelly or Wayne and Garth. Author's notes. Kids, this is what your brain looks like on drugs. No, seriously, this is bizarre, and I apologize for this, especially to Melvel, because it's your ONDT AI gives dollar drive fic. Seriously, I'm sorry. IDK, what happened? Too many margaritas. It's a what? It's a movie! Simon Fuller is not a cheery man normally, so his grin has the unintended effect of being incredibly creepy. Kelly Clarkson did one. From Justin to Kelly, Adam shrieks. Are you kidding? Is that the one where they go on spring break? Chris asks. Adam turns to look at him incredulously. What? I am not going to participate in anything similar to that awkward piece of crap, Adam declares. No offense to Kelly, but really, really. No, no, see, this time it will be better, Simon says, reaching into one of his desk drawers and pulling out a legal pad. We've hired the woman who wrote Juno to write it, and the choreographer from High School Musical. Oh dear God, Adam groans. And of course, you two will play the main characters, and a few of the other contestants from your season will be cast as well. Simon pauses, frowning at his pad. Also, Russell Brand. Russell Brand? Really? Chris asks, looking excited. Adam shoots him a glare evil enough to burn hair. Simon, Adam says, going for the calm approach. I just don't see the point of this. Neither of us are actors, really. I mean, I am, but, well, Chris really, really isn't. Hey, Chris says, I can act. He frowns. Sort of. No, you can't, Adam informs him. He can't, Simon, really. He can't even keep a secret. We tried to pull a prank on Matt the other day, and within 2 minutes, Chris told him everything. He was very persuasive, Chris argues. Well, that's what acting classes are for, Simon says cheerily. We've hired some bloke from New York. Chris, you start tomorrow. Adam gapes. But... Now, Adam, I think you're looking at this the wrong way, Simon says, crossing his hands on the desktop. It's very quick filming schedule. You'll be finished within a month. It'll expand your fan base, give you both a solid platform to jump off into launching your albums. Plus, the research shows that both musicals and reality television are more popular than ever, so combining the two should be... What research? Adam asks. Just research, Simon replies. You know, the official type. Adam stares at him, lost for words. Just trust me, this is a good idea. As reassuring as that is, Adam says, I think I'm going to go with hell no. Simon blinks. Well, all right, he says casually. Of course you can decline. It's not like I own your contract or anything. Adam opens his mouth, then snaps it shut. Chris reaches over and pats his leg sympathetically. That's what I thought, says Simon. I can't believe this, Adam exclaims. Can you believe this? Chris shrugs. Kinda, yeah. Adam turns to glare at him. What, man? We just won American Idol. Did you expect artistic integrity? You won American Idol, Adam corrects. I see no reason why I have to be part of this. He tilts his head. Actually, wait, what is this musical going to even be about? In the Justin and Kelly one, they fell in love, Chris says helpfully. Adam snorts. Don't tell me you've seen it. Chris nods, eyes wide. Okay, I won't. I wonder about you sometimes. Chris grins, bumping shoulders with Adam playfully. Come on, don't be such a downer, man. It's not so bad. Might even be fun. Christopher, Adam says solemnly, this is a motion picture. It will be available for the rest of our lives. In video rental stores, on Netflix, played at 3 a.m. on Fuse TV. Do you understand where I'm coming from here? If you're that concerned about being immortalized being dorky, maybe you should have thought a little harder about trying out for a reality TV show, Chris comments. Shut up. No, I mean, it's not like we were already forced into choreographed musical numbers for the tour or anything. Oh, wait. Shut up! Adam makes a healthy attempt to set him on fire with his eyes. But that never works. I'm disowning you. Chris gives him a toothy smile. Don't try and convince me otherwise. Disowned. I'm just saying, we're used to it. Adam glares at him. Shut up. Well, Chris says, you don't have to be rude. Adam snorts. The scripts come halfway through a hellacious studio session a few weeks later, and Adam is encouraged to take a lunch break, aka let's not talk for a few hours before we all kill each other. Adam grabs a bagel and a few deep breaths and flips it open, and makes it about halfway through before gagging and pulling out his phone to call Chris. Did you get it? Get what? Oh, the script? Yes, the script, Adam says. It's called Idle Hands. Get it? Idle Hands? Ha freaking ha. Chris snorts with laughter. You're kidding. The story is of Adam Jones and Chris Wilson, two plucky young musicians who miraculously score a record deal at the same time, only to realize that Hollywood is corrupting them and give it up for each other. Or friendship in general? It isn't clear. Adam sneers at the script, sitting innocently on the table. It mocks him. Ignoring for the moment the overwhelming irony, and that they made my last name Jones, let's focus on the fact that it's basically Wayne's World with musical numbers, which is just disturbing on so many levels. But what does the title have to do with it, then? I have no idea! Adam laughs a little hysterically. Chris, we have a secret handshake! In the movie, I mean. Like, oh my god. So? Do not tell me that you have a secret handshake with your friends, Adam says desperately. Okay, I won't. You are absolutely no help at all, Adam says, and hangs up on him. He should have called Brad. The first table reading is an unmitigated disaster. It takes management about 2 weeks to fucking schedule it, because Chris has non-stop studio time booked, and Ryder gets sick so Megan has to keep backing out. And then Adam loses his phone, and has to be tracked down manually by a pissed-off producer's assistant. Also, none of them can make it through one scene without collapsing into giggles, particularly Allison, who plays a wise barista who pops in periodically to hand out life advice to the other characters. Chris, I know musicians, and then I know musicians. And you are a musician. It's in your heart, kid. I'm sorry. Allison drops the script, snorting like a racehorse. I just... It's in your heart, kid? Holy crap! Cue more laughing. I'm not sure that makes sense, Chris says, frowning at the script. She calls me kid. Is she supposed to be older than me or something? No. The director is unequivocally unamused, all the time. Apparently a side effect from working with Tom Cruise so much. Or anyway, that's what he told Adam when he asked. She's the same age. But Chris frowns. Whoa! A noob snaps his head up from the script abruptly, apparently having finally found his entrance. I'm a cab driver? No way. No way in hell! In retrospect, that might be a little offensive, the rep from the studio pipes in with. A little? Anoop squawks. Next to him, Allison snorts again, clapping her hand over her mouth, eyes wide. We could change it to a limo driver. Would that make you feel better? The rep asks. Anoop says, not really. How come I'm the evil girlfriend? Megan wonders. Like, do I really come off as evil? Only a little, the rep informs her solemnly. It's mostly the tattoos. Megan gets an expression on her face, somewhere between puzzled and offended. Why don't we take it from the heart-to-heart scene with Adam and Chris? The director interrupts. Adam blinks. Which heart-to-heart? We have one like every 10 pages. The big one. The director waves his hands impatiently. You know, where you make up after your fight and realize your epic friendship is more important than the evil whims of the record industry. He could not have phrased that better, whispers Allison. Adam sighs and flips through to the right page. From Hey Man, the director directs. Hey Man, Adam reads obediently. say, Chris says, awkwardly. The acting class is obviously a stunning success. Not. So, great party, huh? Yeah, if you like that sort of thing. Well, grabs a beer. Allison lets out another bark slash laugh, and Adam prays for patience. Chris, honey, don't read the stuff in italics. That's blocking. Oh, sorry. Chris wrinkles his nose. What's blocking? It's... Adam looks to the director, who is playing Bedazzled on his iPhone. I'll explain it later. Just start over. Ignore the italic stuff. Okay. Chris clears his throat, looking adorably nervous, focused intently on the script. Well, I thought you did. I thought you did, Adam says, rolling his eyes at the dialogue. It's not as fun when I'm by myself, Chris says, and Allison snorts again, muffling her giggles in her sleeve. Anoop leans down and mumbles something in her ear, and her giggles get louder. Without you, I mean, Chris continues, raising his voice to be heard over the noise. Where's Megan? Adam asks, adopting the appropriately bitchy tone. I'd have thought she'd be all over this, with her pitchfork. Adam, get it? 'Cause she's evil. Across the table, the allegedly evil individual in question bares her teeth playfully. We broke up. Oh? Adam says airily. Yeah, I realized she was only in it for the money, or whatever. I'm just not cool with that, Chris says awkwardly. Breaking off, he looks up at Adam. Seriously? Adam snorts. You're not cool with it, Christopher. I sound like a Boy Scout, Chris complains. A really young one, with a limited vocabulary. Think endearing, not stupid, the director says. And Adam, you think Ryan Reynolds. Excuse me? Adam drops the script. What does that even mean? I think it means act like a douchebag, Anoop chimes in helpfully. It means, the director interrupts, glaring. Dorky, charming, snarky, and with a touch of selfish brat. But just a touch. Okay, Adam drawls. I really tried to get all that across in my earlier. Did you catch it? Just keep reading. Skip ahead to You Really Hurt Me, Adam. Adam sighs, picking up the script obediently. You really hurt me, he reads woodenly. More, the director commands. Dorky, charming, touch of selfish brat. Adam blinks, looking slyly at Chris. You really hurt me, he says again, this time laying on the cheese, thinking more along the lines of General Hospital than Ryan Reynolds, dorky, charming, whatever. When you ditched me for her, you betrayed our friendship, Chris, and I never... ever thought you would do that. Ever. We made a pact. Did you forget? Do cheap blondes give you amnesia? Allison, head still in her arms, starts having what sounds like a panic attack. And Megan drops her head into her hands, cackling. We said we wouldn't let this change us. But I guess I was the only one who meant it when we both promised to be best friends forever. I hope you're happy. Adam wipes a few tears away, satisfied with his performance. Chris, deadpan as ever, replies almost instantly, You're right, Adam. I'm an asshole, and I got caught up in everything. But it's different now. I'm different. His mouth twitches slightly before his expression goes black again, and Adam silently reconsiders his opinion on the acting class. I know I screwed up, dude. Is there anything I can do to get you to forgive me? Across the table, Anoop whispers, Is this where they make out? Adam shoots him a glare. You can, he says, looking down at the script to check, and doing a double take. Strip? What? He can strip? Oh my god, this movie just got a million times better, Megan exclaims. Nobody told me there was stripping involved, Chris says, mildly panicked. Relax, the director says. He streaks the party. No big deal. It's a reference to the first scene when Adam and Chris streak the Sweet Corn Festival in their hometown together. Oh yeah, 'cause that sounds like a fun Friday night, Adam says bitingly. They streak the Sweet Corn Festival? Anoop says. Where are they supposed to be from? Pleasantville? Iowa, actually, the director replies. You made my last name Jones, and then you decided to put me in Iowa? Adam moans. Did you find my list of things I think are lame? Because let me tell you, people named Jones and Iowa are both on there. I would just like to take this opportunity to state, for the record, that I am really not okay with showing my bare ass to the entire world, Chris says loudly. Like, I have some limits, okay? Your ass is far from the most embarrassing thing about this entire situation, Adam says. Did you just call my ass embarrassing? Chris replies. Offended? Yeah, his ass is nice, Megan says in defense. Like, if I had to choose between Chris's ass or Adam's ass, I'd probably choose Chris's. No offense, Adam. Some taken, Adam says, shooting her a betrayed look. Hey, when it comes to hair, though, it's all you, Adam, she continues. Also, arms and shoulders, but ass and mouth, Chris. Definitely Chris. Agreed, says Anoop, earning some weird looks. This conversation is making me uncomfortable, Chris announces. Can we please get back on topic about how I'm so not getting naked on camera? You don't have to actually get naked, the director says, rolling his eyes. We're not going to show any of the fun parts anyway. Just your bare chest, a few strategically placed pieces of furniture, and voila. Oh, Chris says. Well, I guess that's okay. Megan pouts a little. Okay, never mind. This movie is boring again. I would just like to say, Allison says, face cherry red from laughing, that this is probably the most awesome day of my life. Ever. Thank you guys. Really. Like, wow. Adam narrows his eyes at her. I'm so glad you're enjoying yourself, baby girl. Can we, like, make suggestions? Chris asks. Because we've yet to address why half the stuff I'm supposed to say is stupid. Half? Adam mutters. You can, in fact, make suggestions, the director says. Just send them my way and we will take them into consideration. Code 4. I will throw them into the trash can as soon as you're gone and go back to counting my gray hairs, Adam knows. Okay, back on track. From the top, please. Of this scene? Chris asks. No, of the movie, the director says, and everyone sighs in tandem. Can we get some vodka? Anoop asks. I think that would improve our artistic vision, collectively. The studio rep shakes her head. Allison is underage. Allison squeaks. Sorry, guys. Anoop pats her head. But, the director chimes in, I will buy everyone in here over the age of 21 a drink of their choosing at the bar later if you get through this in under 2 hours. Megan, Anoop, Chris, and Adam all exchange looks, then flip hastily to the beginning of the script. So, the script is phenomenally bad. This is a fact. I want to hear you say it. Chris sighs. Fine, this is going to be a disaster. Happy? No. Adam glares at the director, sitting at a table across the bar, and saying something that apparently requires dramatic hand gestures to Megan. I am not happy, because we haven't even met the choreographer yet, who I know for a fact is an idiot. And if you think the lines are bad... Adam trails off, shuddering. What exactly are we supposed to do? Chris says. Like, it's bad, okay? But you, me, and Allie are under contract. And it's more exposure for Megan and Anoop, which is good. Isn't Scott supposed to be in it too? Adam mumbles. He's like the drunk friend, right? Who the hell knows? Chris frowns down into his glass, containing something that looks, smells, and, if the expression on Chris's face whenever he takes a drink is correct, tastes like gasoline. Adam frowns. Are you okay? He thinks quickly back on Chris's behavior over the course of the day, facilitating between nervous/quiet and sullen/angry. Like, you've been acting kind of weird, even for you. He nudges Chris's shoulder playfully. Chris shrugs. Katie left me, he says casually, as if commenting on the weather. What? Chris winces. Would you keep it down? In retrospect, that was rather shrill. Sorry, what happened? Jesus, why didn't you tell me? I don't want to talk about it, Chris says, and downs the last of his drink. Actually, I do want to talk about it, but I'm not allowed to talk about it, he scoffs. And isn't it fun? I'm so sorry, Adam says. Like, really? Oh my God, Chris. He makes a gesture that he hopes conveys the complicated knot of sympathy slash regret slash anger that he's feeling. Chris nods. Thanks. Adam falls quiet, unsure of what to say, especially to this odd, quiet, boiling beneath the surface Chris. Now that he's paying attention, he can see the coiled tension in his rigid shoulders, the clench of his jaw, his tight grip on the bar. It's kind of hot, actually, and he's going to hell, but whatever. He's said way more offensive things than that, let alone thought. We could go somewhere else, Adam offers, and talk? Back to my place, maybe? Chris stays silent. Or, Adam attempts, we could get really drunk and then go back to my place and play Wii Sport until we pass out. Let's go with option B, Chris says gratefully, and motions to the bartender for a refill. Adam smiles in satisfaction. So Adam decides the next morning, no more pity parties for Chris. Somehow, Chris had ended up in Adam's bed, which is not that unusual of a situation after a night of hard drinking and Wii playing. But what is unusual is that he is naked. Adam's first response upon waking up and discovering this fact is, "We had sex?" accompanied by an embarrassing amount of giddy celebration and fist pumping in his head before realizing, oh, he still has jeans on. So no sex. Damn it. Chris's response to Adam's very logical inquiry about his nakedness, however, is a loud groan and some muffled curse words, which is not at all helpful. Further questioning, however, proves to be futile, as Chris is apparently a nasty bitch when he's hungover. And Adam, being a fucking saint, provides him with water and aspirin and lets him sleep for 3 more hours. He even makes coffee. When finally coherent, Chris apparently sees nothing unusual at all about the fact that he had, at some point, taken off his clothes and climbed into bed with his gay friend, providing Adam with only a shrug and a sorry before burying his face in a mug of coffee. That's it? Adam says. Sorry is all I get? I'm really sorry? Chris tries for a sheepish smile, but it comes off more like a grimace. You are impossible, Adam declares, and leaves to go get donuts. Fuck dieting. It's that kind of morning. Adam is expecting some level of awkwardness to this situation. Like, Jesus, how could it not be? But Chris, apparently, is some kind of awkward-proof weirdness-dodging ninja, because it isn't awkward or weird. Like, at all. Which is the weirdest thing about the situation, if Adam thinks about it. They eat donuts, and Chris gulps down an entire pot of coffee and opens up a little about Katie, who apparently left Chris because of A, the pressures of fame, B, LA gives her hives, C, they've been drifting apart and she wants to pursue her own path, independent from Chris's. And not that she doesn't love him, it's just that she's not ready for this level of commitment after all. Or D, she's a heinous bitch. Or perhaps some combination of all of them. It isn't clear from Chris's fragmented explanation. And what really says something about Adam as a person, he thinks, is that he is resolutely more focused on the fact that Katie apparently pulled a just kidding on her marriage vows rather than the fact that Chris is licking powdered sugar off his fingers while wearing Adam's shirt. Yeah. It's better that this is happening now, though, instead of, like, 5 years from now, Adam tells him. And also, you don't have to feel guilty about kissing Megan. Point. Chris smirks. Katie was actually excited about that, he says a little oddly. I offered to see if I could get her a part in the movie, but she said no. And she said that I should see if I liked kissing Megan, as like an experiment or something. Chris frowns. Like, what? That I might suddenly fall in love with her and be okay with getting dumped? Not a totally far out possibility, Adam says logically. I know this girl who was married for like 2 years or something, and her husband left her out of nowhere. A week after she got served the papers, she met some bartender guy on leave from the Navy and forgot all about her scumbag husband. Adam blinks. Not that you're a scumbag, or to imply that Katie might meet a bartending sailor. That's different though, Chris says. Katie and I, we're different. he stops. Or I thought we were different. He looks so miserable that Adam feels this incredible urge to just, like, pull him in completely and just protect him from everything. As if he's a turtle or something and can shelter the American Idol in his big, gay, sparkly shell. I'm really sorry, Chris, he settles for saying instead. Like, I know I've said this already, and this will probably not be the first time you'll hear it, but I'm just really sorry this happened to you. Thank you. Chris tilts and leans into Adam's side, pressing his forehead into Adam's shoulder affectionately, hands loose on the countertop. That really does mean a lot. Adam kisses his head on impulse. You'll be fine. You'll see. I know, Chris mumbles, and that's that. The next few months are a fast-moving blur for the most part. Adam is recording, and so are Chris and Allison. So all three of their lives are reduced to studio sessions, meetings, interviews, more meetings, more studio sessions, oh no, yeah, more meetings. He sees Allie periodically, mostly because they have a game going to see how many times they can track each other down over the course of a day. And Chris almost never, mostly because Chris is dealing with a group of PR people who have an amazing number of fights on how to handle the divorce. The process of the divorce itself, helping Katie move all her crap back to Conway, breaking the news to two sets of parents that there will be no grandchildren in the near future, and, oh yeah, being dangerously depressed. Adam's a little worried. The culmination is a drunken phone call at 4 a.m. one morning that Adam mistakenly answers, despite his very tried and true policy of never answering calls after 2 o'clock, especially on Fridays. It's never good news. Ever. And it's true, because when Chris solemnly informs Adam that he's in a big cage, a cage of badness, Adam sighs, tells him to drink lots of water, and hangs up. And then he wakes up the next morning to the news that, by big cage of badness, Chris had not in fact meant his general life situation at the moment, but actually, literally, a big cage of badness, otherwise known as jail. I cannot believe I called you for bail money and you hung up on me! In my defense, Adam says, you never actually said the word jail or bail. Or money. It was just a bunch of incoherent mumbling. Whatever, Chris huffs. Then you started singing Rude Boy by Rihanna, which, aside from being pretty much the funniest thing in the entire world, was not exactly a hint to the fact that you were in jail. Chris looks unimpressed. I slept on a cement floor. Next to a neo-Nazi. Adam snorts. That sounds romantic. Continue. Chris stares out the window sullenly. I can feel how dirty my clothes are. Maybe you shouldn't have punched a fucking cop then, Adam says. At the danger of sounding like my mother? What the hell were you thinking? I was thinking the guy was an asshole, Chris exclaims, and he totally was. Adam sighs. Yeah, I'm sure he did something heinous to provoke you in your totally calm state at the time. He called you a fag, Chris says, and Adam jerks the wheel a little too hard, swerving sharply. Hey, watch it! Adam clears his throat. How did I come up in a conversation with a traffic cop exactly? Chris shrugs. He recognized me and then brought you up. I don't know, man. I don't remember all the details. Adam takes a deep breath, focusing intently on the road. Well, I appreciate the solidarity or whatever, but maybe next time you should just let it slide. Why? Chris asks. Well, when choosing between defending my honor and not getting arrested, I'd rather you choose the latter. Chris sighs. Fine, I'm sorry. Don't apologize to me, Adam says. Well, I'm sorry for getting arrested, Chris says. I'm still mad you hung up on me, though. You're going to have to let that go eventually, Adam says patronizingly. I think I'm going to hold on to it until at least the end of the car ride home, Chris shoots back. Thanks, though. So obviously, the giving Chris space and time to deal with it on his own plan isn't working, so Adam gives it up. He starts finding excuses to stop by and visit, call, text, run into him randomly on the street, invite him places, and when he doesn't have time, he sends Allie to. And sometimes, Kale. It's a foolproof system that results in Chris never being alone, except for a few hours in the early morning and then late at night when he's asleep. And even then, Adam bribed the doorman to page him if Chris leaves under suspicious circumstances. So, dude, Chris says after about a week of this, it's like I'm on suicide watch or something. Not too far from the truth. I went to the bathroom yesterday and Kale was waiting for me outside. Chris pins him with a look. I know you're behind it. How do you know that? Adam asks innocently. I can feel it, Chris says. You know that feeling you get when someone's staring at you? It feels like that. Times 100. I'm just worried about you, Adam says, trying the puppy eyes. That's really creepy, man, Chris comments. Is there something wrong with your eyes? Adam pouts. Fine. I'll take a step back. But if you get arrested again, I'm so not helping. Thanks, Chris replies. No small amount of sarcasm. I can really feel your sincerity. I will stop, Adam says. I swear. You're totally lying, Chris accuses. He's right. He totally is. Filming starts up on Idle Hands soon after, which makes keeping an eye on Chris a whole lot easier since they are on the same set for 8 to 10 hours a day. Plus, they share a trailer. It's kind of like being in the mansion again, if the mansion had been a really shitty double-wide that smells like pot. The downside to this, however, is that filming a movie that they all hate is... Well, actually, that part is the downside. Except Allison, who finds everything about it hilarious. They're filming on location in some small town in Utah, which apparently looks a whole lot like Iowa, and has the added benefit of being a couple hours away from Megan's place, so she doesn't have to be away from Ryder for too long. They spend the first week in solid rehearsal, having the lines drilled into them by a wholly unsympathetic production assistant with the patience of a saint, until Adam starts saying his monologues in his sleep, which is really disturbing, and also annoying. The first couple weeks are all of Megan and Chris's scenes together, which are positively hilarious to watch, as Chris is so profoundly uncomfortable with kissing Megan that it's almost offensive, or it would be if Megan would stop giggling long enough to actually let him do anything. I'm sorry, Megan exclaims. It's like he leans in and I think, pocket idol, and then I start giggling. They eventually fix this situation by taking out most of the actual mouth-to-mouth contact in favor of cheek and forehead kisses, and one really weird scene where the director makes Chris kiss Megan's knee. Like, randomly and weirdly. But, being Chris, he pulls it off. The bulk of the scenes are ones between Adam and Chris, as the movie is primarily about them. Or their alter egos, anyway. Megan has the next biggest part as the conniving girlfriend, something she eventually embraces with vigor, employing the craziest type of method acting that Adam's ever seen, by stalking around the set and referring loudly to her evil mastermind plans, which include everything from invading Adam and Chris's trailer with Allison to stealing the last Danish. Anoop's part, eventually reworked into a quirky personal assistant rather than a quirky cab/limo driver, consists of him mostly popping up at odd moments at the end of scenes with a sarcastic quip or an observation on events. And Allison mostly just hangs out in the background, handing out cryptic, incoherent advice and/or encouragement whenever prompted. She's like a cross between Mr. T and an aging hippie, only with bright blue and red hair. And the story itself pretty much only makes sense to Allison. To everyone else, it's like trying to follow the plot of a Family Guy episode. Difficult, and so not the point. Working closely with Chris, though, is, Adam might say, almost worth it. The longer the process goes on, which, contrary to what Simon had assured them, will be much longer than a month, the less depressed he seems. By the end of the third week, Adam notices that he's no longer surgically attached to his phone, checking it obsessively for news from his lawyer, read Katie, and a couple weeks after that, he even starts making jokes about it. The divorce, Adam means. He's taking it as a good sign. They're most of the way through the filming schedule when one of the big thingies breaks. Adam doesn't know what the fuck it does, okay? It's big, it has wheels, and it probably costs more than his life is worth. So they have to delay shooting until a new one can be shipped in. They take this opportunity to schedule them all in the studio to start recording the musical tracks, interspersed with more dance rehearsals for the final few dance scenes. They do all this in Salt Lake City, which, despite being in the middle of the reddest state that Adam has ever set boot heel in, is actually, like, a really cool place. Huh. The songs are bad. This is a fact. The dancing is worse. This is also a fact. But somehow, all of this becomes less important, as despite the horrifying quality of the work Adam is doing, he's kind of having the time of his life. It becomes tradition to go out every Saturday, to a bar near the hotel where they're all staying, sometimes bringing Allison when she can shake her mother, but mostly not. Anoop calls it grown-up time. Allison usually smacks him when he does this. One particular Saturday, Megan and Anoop are intensely involved in a game of beer pong with a group of college students at one end of the bar when Chris, apropos of absolutely nothing, makes a pass at Adam. "Chris, honey," Adam says, frantically trying to signal Megan, with his mind, to come back over and save him from this situation right now, please. "You're drunk." "I'm not," Chris protests and leans forward, nearly falling off the bar stool. "Oh, wait. Maybe I am." "Right," Adam says. "Let's go back to the hotel, okay?"
"Yes,"
Chris exclaims.
"Let's do that."
"To our separate suites," Adam says through gritted teeth and watches as Chris's face falls. "Come on." Chris sighs mournfully, holding out his hand and allowing Adam to guide him out of the bar. "You think you know best," Chris informs him solemnly, tilting precariously to the left. "But you're wrong." "Which one of us is holding onto a trash can to keep from falling over right now?" Adam asks, and Chris wrinkles his nose, letting go of the can and nearly crashing headfirst into the wall. Also, which one of us has been divorced, arrested, and subsequently on the cover of every tabloid in the country in the last 2 months? Hint, it's not me. "If you hadn't hung up on me, I would have been fine," Chris grumbles. "Stupid TMZ. Stupid Perez Hilton. Whatever." Also, there's the whole hitting on your best friend, even though he's male and I'm straight thing, Adam says tightly, staring up at the elevator doors and willing them to open. "Which we are so talking about tomorrow. I don't even care how hungover you are."
"Dude," Chris says with feeling,
"you are so overdramatic."
"No, no, no. Do not call me overdramatic. I am perfectly dramatic enough. You are underdramatic."
"That's not even a word," Chris says.
"This is not helping me become less worried about you," Adam says pointedly.
"Adam," Chris says, grinning drunkenly.
"I'm fine. See?"
He pats his chest, doing a little spin and then crashing into the closed elevator doors.
"Ouch. Okay, well, that hurt. But I'm still fine, okay?"
"Right," Adam says sarcastically.
"And just because I've never been with a guy before doesn't mean I don't like you," Chris continues, stepping forward haltingly and leaning his cheek on Adam's shoulder.
"I like you a lot. I do."
"I like you too," Adam says wearily, counting to 20 inside his head. "We're friends. Because you're straight."
He blinks.
"Wait, I don't mean that that's the only reason we're friends, or that we'd be something else if you weren't straight, which you are, so it doesn't even matter, right?"
"Maybe," Chris mumbles, "you should fuck me and find out."
And if that weren't stunning enough, the elevator doors open on Chris's words, and Adam is greeted with an elderly couple staring them down as if Adam is the end of all morality and decency.
"Sorry,"
he says, suspiciously high-pitched, dragging Chris into the elevator and shoving him into the corner.
"Stay," he says sternly.
"Oh, not you. Him. I mean, sorry, can you hit 7 for me?"
"It's stressful, okay? That's all Adam's saying. Chris is touchy-feely sober, and when he's drunk, and apparently hot for Adam, he's impossible. There may or may not have been some minor indecency in the hallway. And there's a traumatized maid that Adam hopes he never has to see ever again. But for the most part, Adam emerges unscathed. And unfucked.
And so did Chris, for the record. He spends a good hour after depositing Chris in his room, pacing and fretting before downing a row of mini vodka bottles from the minibar and passing out on the couch halfway through a Golden Girls rerun. His wake-up call the next morning consists of a frantic phone call at an incredibly indecent hour from the director's assistant, who informs him that he has exactly 1 hour to get down to the restaurant in the lobby for a breakfast meeting, or she will personally come upstairs and kick his ass. And Adam really believes her. It's not a nice morning. So Adam takes a shower and worries about seeing Chris, and gets dressed and worries about seeing Chris, and walks downstairs and worries about seeing Chris, and almost chickens out because he sees Chris through the window before forcing himself to walk inside because he's Adam fucking Lambert. But seriously, oh my god, Chris looks incredible. Son of a bitch. Adam, Chris greets, looking nonplussed and non-hungover. The little shit. Sleep well? Adam glares at him venomously, and he smirks. The director shows up soon, thankfully, and orders enough food to feed an army. Then he smiles pleasantly, and Adam feels a cold shiver. So, he says, we've decided to make it a love story. Adam chokes on his tea. Okay, Chris says cheerily, and Adam chokes again. On nothing. But, Adam sputters, we've already filmed practically the whole thing. I'll tell you a secret, Adam, the director replies, leaning in conspiratorially. The only difference between a romance and a bromance is the kiss at the ending. He leans back in his chair casually. An extra week of shooting to throw some more relevant lines in, and we're good to go. And we have a rewrite of the ending scene, of course. But, great, says Chris, kicking Adam in the shin. Just send us the new lines. Thanks for being a trooper, Chris, the director says, and starts digging into the food with a vigor that is at best odd, and at worst, a sign of rabies. What is this guy on? Adam wonders. Adam tries again. Really don't know if this is a good idea. I mean, Chris is straight! Chris rolls his eyes. Shut up, you are. Or at least everyone thinks you are. Because why wouldn't they, since you only sleep with women? One woman, Chris says pointedly, which is a moot point now, so they already know. Your fan base, Adam says frantically. This is bad idea. Really, really bad idea. Because he'll lose fans, and people will think I corrupted him, and stuff. Actually, the director says, the research shows that gay people are in now. Gay people are in? Adam repeats, torn between laughing and crying. He could seriously go either way at this point. It's very popular, the director says. Plus, there's the whole Kratom thing, which honestly is the only reason we're doing this in the first place. Adam says, and is ignored. So we want to take it a step further. Push the limits. Plus, Chris chimes in, everyone already thinks we're fucking anyway. Can you actually hear me talking? Or am I making no sound at all? Adam asks. This makes no sense. Comprende? None. Look, Adam, the director starts, setting down his fork. Finally. I think you're looking at this the wrong way. Oh no, Adam says. Do not pull that shit with me. Don't even. I'm sure you'll come around, the director replies, wiping his mouth delicately. I have to go to the bathroom, he then announces, and pushes back from the table and wanders off. Adam stares at him incredulously. No, seriously, what is that guy on? Before turning his gaze on Chris. What the fuck was that? So it's a love story now, Chris says, shrugging. Not like this movie can get any more insane than it already is. Adam splutters incoherently, flailing his arms around in some hope to convey his feelings on the subject. Dude, Chris says, calm down. You're making a scene. Oh, fuck this, Adam says. You all are crazy. You're the one waving your arms around like a lunatic, Chris replies. Why am I the only one noticing the insanity here? Adam asks, mostly rhetorically. Like, I really want to know. I'm stumped. Chris sighs. Just take deep breaths, he says. And here, have a donut. I don't want a fucking donut! fine, Chris replies, setting it down on the plate. You don't have to yell at me. Adam stares at him, unimpressed. If this is a game, it's not funny, he says soberly. Chris looks startled. Game? He says. I'm not playing a game. Adam huffs. Right. Chris narrows his eyes at him darkly. You are either stupid or in denial. I can't figure out which. What are you talking about? Chris sighs, drops his fork, and before Adam can react, he leans in and kisses him, right there in front of everyone in the restaurant. Two primary thoughts battle for attention. One being, holy fuck, Chris is kissing me! And the second being, holy fuck, I'm kissing a guy in Utah! We're gonna get killed! And before Adam can decide which one is the more urgent, Chris pulls away. As of next Saturday, I'm officially divorced, Chris says, staring intently at his coffee cup. I've been trying to send you subtle signals for like a month, but either I suck at it or you do, because you haven't noticed. And yes, I was drunk last night, but I knew what I was doing. So, he raises his eyebrows. Your move. Adam stammers.
Mormons!
What? Chris looks at him like he's crazy, which is not undeserved. I gotta go, Adam says in reply, and bolts. Because he's smart, he thinks. The next few weeks are all reshoots, mostly with Megan and Chris, so Adam takes the opportunity to avoid him at all costs, freak out with every fiber of his being, and call everyone he knows to ask for advice. His family all hang up on him after the first 5 minutes, and then start avoiding his calls. Well, Neil still answers, but only to laugh at him, loudly, which is not fucking helpful at all. Brad pretends not to hear anything he says on the subject of Chris, which leads to Adam babbling while Brad carries on a completely different conversation, independent of Adam's input or presence. Lane tells him that if he wants therapy from her as well, she's going to need a bigger salary, and all his other friends are equally, if not more, unhelpful. It doesn't help that Chris keeps sending him all these texts, which may be interpreted as flirting, if Adam was crazy, which he is not. So it's really just annoying when he gets texts that say shit like, you look hot today, and are you done freaking out yet? Because I'm getting impatient. Which, that one was just ominous, okay? Winky emoticon or not. He gets the script for the redone final scene, which has been changed from a heartfelt reunion at a concert between two best friends to a romantic movie scene kiss at a Hollywood party. Oh, and Chris is naked. His character Chris Wilson, not Chris Allen, is naked, is what Adam means. The fucking streaking thing. Not that filming that sweet corn festival scene hadn't been torture enough. Now Adam has to fucking kiss him again, and he'll be naked again. And if Adam hasn't mentioned this already, it's really, really unfair that Adam has to see Chris naked more times than he's seen some of his boyfriends naked in the past few months, and they've never once made it past first base. A crime. Not that he wants to get past first base, because Chris is straight. This is all a divorce-induced period of hysteria, or something, and Adam will fall on the fucking sword and resist Chris's wily temptations because he is a fucking awesome friend, and that's that. Because he's straight. That gets less believable every time you say it, is Neil's response to that. Shut up, Adam replies, and Neil laughs at him again, and then hangs up. The morning of the final scene, Adam spends a solid hour giving himself a prep talk in the mirror. It only serves to make him more nervous, especially since Chris pops his head in and Adam nearly jumps through the window in surprise. Ready for today? Chris asks, shit-eating grin spread across his face. You suck, Adam says. Go away right now. Do you think I should go out there naked? Chris asks, ignoring him. Adam squeaks pathetically. I think it would save time. I am very disappointed in your behavior, Adam says shrilly, pushing him out of the bathroom bodily. Go away right now! Fine, fine, Chris says, laughing and holding up his hands. See you on set. Adam glares. That sounded much more foreboding than it should have. Then he goes back to his pep talk, his confidence in tatters. When this is over, Chris owes him a fruit basket. Or a Mustang. The scene goes like this. Chris streaks the party and then comes back outside, still stark naked. In reality, underwear. Tight underwear, with tiny SpongeBobs on them. Yeah. And has a heartfelt romantic conversation before a heartfelt romantic kiss. With Adam, who is stuffed into some odd suit thing that's made mostly out of leather. And this should not be as hot as it is. It's fairly ridiculous, and Adam has not tried to figure out the new plot of the movie any harder than he tried to figure out the old plot. But apparently Chris Wilson is declaring his love for Adam Jones by showing his naughty bits to a bunch of strangers, which Adam really hopes makes sense in some sort of context, because in the real life context, it's insane. What is also insane is that Chris has to run through the party set about a million times, because apparently they really do need that many camera angles. Or maybe it just feels like a million times to Adam, who is trying to figure out a way to strangle himself without anyone noticing. It's not promising. Regardless of the fact that Chris isn't actually naked, just in underwear, it's not like Adam needs to see the goods to want to take them home, okay? And plus, Adam's seen Chris's money shot before, and it's all fucking pointless anyway. By the time Adam is called to his cue, Chris is shiny with sweat from running, which really isn't helping, and Adam forgets his lines 3 times, so they go through the first part multiple times, Chris's smirk growing in size with each time. Finally, an assistant pulls Adam aside and asks if he needs to take a break, which pisses him off, and fuck this. Okay, he can do this. He once stopped having sex mid-blowjob to go on and perform. This is nothing. He resolves to concentrate, and he finds that by staring just above Chris's head, this starts to actually work. You're crazy. Crazy for you, Chris replies, jogging up and stopping on the cue like a pro. He also makes the cheesy line sound incredibly not cheesy, which figures. You just showed your ass to half the record company. Chris grins crookedly. Was it enough proof for you? Adam suddenly becomes intensely aware of the 30-some people watching this closely. I don't know. Hey, that might be your new hobby now. Who knows? My hobbies do not include running naked through a room full of people, Chris says, stepping closer onto the second cue smoothly. They do, however, include spending time with you. Adam's neck starts to heat with a blush that is, unfortunately, all too real. Shut up. And talking to you. And being with you. And do I need to go on? No, Adam whispers. Good, Chris says. This is the part they're supposed to kiss. But Adam can't seem to make himself move. Out of the corner of his eye, he sees a few people fidgeting nervously, the director holding up one meaty paw to hold them back. Adam, Chris murmurs, too low for the booms to pick up. It doesn't have to mean anything. He looks suddenly unsure, and Adam feels an odd pressure in his chest. Yes, it does, he says, and goes for broke. Chris makes a small, surprised noise as Adam grabs his face and pulls him forward the final few inches, wrapping him up in a kiss worthy of any musical-slash-reality-show-fusion movie ending. Shitty dialogue and all. Chris hangs limply in Adam's arms before getting with the program and kissing back, pressing up against Adam and clutching at his shoulders frantically. Adam hums in approval, contenting himself with exploring the skin of Chris's lower back. Dimly, he registers loud voices and thinks, "What the fuck? Don't they know I'm having a life-changing moment here?" before recognizing the word, "Cut!" Adam tries to ignore it. "Guys, seriously, cut!" Adam breaks the kiss reluctantly, pushing a dazed Chris away and smirking. "Cut!" he says merrily. "So, another take, yeah?" He hears a whoop that sounds suspiciously like Allison from somewhere, but the rest of the crowd is silent, staring at them blankly. "What?" Adam asks. "We're professionals, you guys." Looking over at Chris, he winks, who smiles dazedly. "Let's get this wrapped." 6 months later, Adam gets a call from Megan. Straight to video, she calls. They sent me a copy. It's awesome. Like, epically so. I can't even believe it exists. I think I got one too, Adam replies. Somewhere. Maybe Chris stole it. I did not, Chris squawks indignantly from Adam's couch. He's lying on his stomach and there's something sports related playing on the television. Adam is so not interested. We should have a watch party, Megan exclaims. We can all get together and watch you grope Chris on film. Shut up, Adam groans. That is so tacky. How many people can say they have video evidence of the beginning of their grand romance? Megan replies. Not many non-creepy people, anyway. You guys are like the Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt of music. Which one of us gets to be Angelina? Adam asks. Me, Chris calls absently. Adam snorts. I'll call you with a date, Megan promises. Threatens. Be ready. And hangs up. Adam grumbles, ambling over to the couch and kicking at Chris until he makes room. We have to watch the movie. What movie? Chris asks absently. Our movie, Adam says, flicking Chris's ear. Duh. Oh, Chris says, wrinkling his nose. I don't know if that's a good idea. The acting classes did pay off in the end, Adam muses. Eventually. Painful, Chris comments. Oh, don't be such a downer, Chris, Adam cajoles. It might be fun. You suck, Chris says, tilting his face up with a grin, and Adam leans down to take the invitation happily. Only when you ask nicely, he murmurs, and seals it with a kiss. Or maybe a promise. And that's that. The end. Reader's notes. If you would like to find this fic online, it can be found at http://community.livejournal.com/kratom_kiss/72506.html. If you would like to download this podfic, it can be found at padakaproductions.com. Thanks for listening.